Hey, before we begin, I first of all wanted to express deep gratitude for those of you who have truly given me great positive feedback on the show so far. It's been really good to hear people enjoying the conversations I'm having with people from all over and wherever they come from. But I want to hear from you more. So if you have any feedback on people you might want to hear on the show, if you have any topics you want to make sure I talk about, go follow me on social media at Rich Sabata. Shoot me a note. And I'm happy to hear any messages. If you have any questions for me or any of my guests, of course, you can reach out to them directly, but, you know, I would also appreciate reaching out to me. If you happen to be listening to this on a platform where you can leave a review, please leave a review. I would greatly appreciate it. It helps other people discover this show, and it helps other people find me, and it spreads the message of the podcast. So thanks again, everyone, and let's get started. How can we become the best version of ourselves? This is a question that I have been pondering for myself, especially since the start of the pandemic, where we're a little bit more limited in the options that we can do. And so we have to be a little bit more scrappy with how we interact with people, how we engage in our fitness journey. And one of the things that I have realized is that the desire to be a better version of yourself today than being a better version of yourself from the day before is something that all of us can do, because your only measuring stick is yourself. And when we push ourselves, we can often push those around us. For those of us who, like myself, are content creators for the internet and have public internet personas, spreading the message is also incredibly important, because we want to make sure that we can also push ourselves in a positive light while pushing others around us. Today, I'm talking to my really good friend, Lindsay Milner. Lindsay is a fitness enthusiast, an Instagram personality, but I lovingly call her the queen of heart and hustle. You see, Lindsay, I've known for a couple years now, and the thing that I know Lindsay for is her hardworking mentality, her hustle, her spirit, and her soul. Now, Lindsay and I come from two completely different worlds. Lindsay comes from suburban Long Island, and both of her parents were doctors. And today, Lindsay uses both her knowledge of her platform, her knowledge of her privilege, and also her knowledge of hard work to promote positive messages online. And she shares with the world her perspective on everything going on from a social justice perspective, everything to try to motivate people to be the best and healthiest version of themselves. But most importantly, Lindsay challenges herself in a pretty public way to try to be a better version of Lindsay today than she was yesterday. I'm your host, Rich Sabata, and this is the Bodega Body Podcast.
Yo, smoking on top shelf Guido, and it's all over my hands like Cheetos. All she wanna do is dance in tight speedos, relax in a mansion like the Migos. I can't even sell the shit that I smoke. This shit cause bands like the Beatles. And we watch movies like it's Regal, then go cash out on seafood. Send her home with a quarter ounce of diesel. Girl, that boy don't even feed you. Yeah, he saw me spread it like the measles. I feel like these niggas want competition with me, and I only compete with myself. This for the niggas who stuck to the mission with me. I got
damn hair up in the kitchen with me. Got back the oven on 450. The show. Thanks to David James for the great intro to the song. Keep On. You can listen on Spotify as well as SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. Joining me today, I've got a really great friend of mine in my head. I don't think I've ever called her this in her face. She is the queen of heart and hustle. She lives by her personal motto known as Under the Linfluence. Please welcome one of my great friends, Lindsay Milner. Lindsay, how's it going?
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me. Oh, wow. I love that you just said that. I've never heard you say that before.
We used to work together, for the sake of the listeners.
Yeah,
and at Vice. Yes, at Vice. And I've always known you to be incredibly hardworking. So to me, it's your hustle that I want to get to a lot today. And I hope that the listeners get to hear some of that. But first of all, before we dive into all that, what I think one of the things that I've been asking everyone is, how the heck have you been doing over the past number of months? It's been rough and it's been crazy. So how have you been?
Oh, times have definitely been weird and scary and uncertain. Let's rewind a little bit. So if we look back at March, which is, you know, like 4 months ago at this point, I actually got the virus very early on. My family and I, a few of my sister and her boyfriend and my cousin and my aunt, we went skiing in Vail. And actually, just looking back now, like I read a New York Times article and I was listening to one of the podcasts and it was saying that ski resorts was like a hot, very highly infected areas in the beginning of the virus. And people didn't necessarily realize. So when I got back from skiing, I was feeling, you know, not the best, but not too bad. I would say it was kind of like a light cold, or like allergies. So thank God, luckily I didn't have anything too terrible. But this virus is definitely real. So everybody please wear a mask. It's so, so important. But yeah, I mean, I've been busy with work. I was able to get out of Brooklyn a little bit. My sisters and our boyfriends, we went to the Hamptons for 2 weeks and we just you know, self-isolated out there together. Outside of work, I've been doing, you know, a lot of self-reflection. So I actually, did you do that Yale course, The Science of Well-Being?
I did not, no.
Oh, okay. Because a lot of people I'd been talking to did this course. I did the course. I definitely recommend it. It's all about different things that you can be doing in your life to manifest happiness.
Interesting.
And increase your happiness. So if, you know.
Yeah. So what is that? It's available through Yale?
Through Coursera. They partnered up, Yale and Coursera, because they noticed that it was, you know, one of the most liked and most registered classes at Yale. So they offered it online for free during quarantine. So that's been cool. And, you know, just focusing on my group fitness and working toward a certification.
Yeah, amazing.
But I know you've been busy. You're starting the podcast. You moved. So how's everything with you?
It's good. It's funny because one of the things I actually haven't talked about publicly is the fact that I did get pretty sick pretty early on. Both me and Jess, my girlfriend, we got incredibly sick in March. I don't know if it was the flu. I don't know if it was COVID. We actually never ended up getting tested at that point. That was, again, during a time where tests were a lot more limited, and we had went down to Baltimore to kind of just like stay away from people and to be in a space where we thought we can sort of be relatively safe and relatively sane together. And I spent a couple days kind of down for the count. I'll say that I never got as bad as, you know, being hospitalized, you know, thank goodness. But it was scary. And I was like hacking up a lung for like 3 to 4 days. And my coworkers were incredibly worried. And I was worried. I it's funny because I didn't tell my mom that I was sick and she would probably kill me if she knew. But it's been good. I've been, you know, obviously busy with the podcast, busy with trying to educate myself in a lot of better stuff. So I've been trying to stay busy and stay sane and keeping in touch with folks that, you know, I otherwise probably wouldn't get the chance to talk to.
Yeah, I will say I've been connecting with some people that I haven't either spoken to or been in connection with in a really long time. So that's, you know, one positive out of all of this nonsense.
Yeah. So one of the things I think is really good to start off with is one of the first things that I learned about you is how active you are on Instagram and how active you are on social media in general. And I think one of the things that became clear to me, especially as I got to know you more, and you know, through our times working together and just our times hanging out in and outside of work, I think one of the things that became clear is that you are very much your authentic self on social media, and you are very much like 100% Lindsay online. And to be quite honest, I do call you like a digital motivator, because the Instagram thing is funny, right? Because like we're all kind of playing this like weird content game, but at the end of the day, I think we want to motivate other people around us. So walk me through when you're thinking about the things that you're posting online on Instagram, and you're trying to motivate other people around you. Tell me about some of the thought process that goes into that.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I love engaging with other people. I love, you know, making connections, whether that's in person or digitally. I think that's what really drives my happiness, is understanding, you know, what other people's goals are, what is going to ultimately lead to that happiness, and then helping them work toward that, or just, yeah, you know, trying to identify how they can get there.
Yeah.
So it's really, I don't have like that intense of a thought process. I try to be as authentically myself as possible. So if I'm posting a picture, is this something that really defines who I am and what I would say? And, you know, am I being real, or am I just trying to, you know, post the picture to get likes? I never really would say that I do that. Yeah. But it's kind of about having like no social shame, I would say, because everybody's going to have an opinion one way or another. So you just have to post what feels right to you, and just hope that that resonates with other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, we're all trying to motivate each other. Yeah. We're all content creators in our own right.
Yeah.
So how can we kind of come together and build a community to motivate and ultimately, you know, live better and healthier lives, I think, is my thought process, I guess, in my posts. When I comment back to people, it's like, your friend, I might not physically know you and you might technically be a stranger, but you're deciding to connect with me via this social platform. I'm going to connect back with you and I'm going to be real with you.
Yeah.
But I know you have two accounts. You have, you know, Bodega Body, which is the fitness, and then you have your personal account. So how does that, for you, kind of like, how do you maintain that balance of like going back and forth?
Yeah, I'll say that, like, I talk about this with my friends all the time. I'm still learning this social media game, right? Like, I am trying to figure out for myself, like, what is the balance of putting rich out there and hoping that people can learn something from my personal experiences and my personal perspective. And then what are some of the things that I can share with people that is sort of rich agnostic? So the things that don't necessarily have to do with me, but are bits and pieces of information and knowledge that I've learned along the way. So I think that that's sort of where I've started to start drawing the line. It's like sharing the useful information on one, but then like giving people a glimpse into who I am as a person on another. And I'll say that like, people probably buy into the rich more than the other, but that's fine to me. Like, I think that whatever little value that I can provide to the world with my personal experience and my perspective, that to me is the heart and soul of the mission and the heart and soul of this. It's, if I can teach you one thing, then I'm glad I was able to teach you that one thing. And if you're able to take something from my personal experience, from something that I went through a thought process that came through along the way, I try to make sure that, I'm being my most authentic self, and that the things that I'm posting isn't necessarily for social engagement, because I think that happens a lot on Instagram, even with people who aren't content creators, if you will, like people who are just posting for their own sort of benefit to share with their friends. I think a lot of people think, oh, I think this thing could be popular for social media. So I'm going to post it. I'm going to post this, you know, whatever plate of food I'm eating. The things that I'm trying to share are more geared towards Again, sharing that perspective and how people can start doing little things in their regular life to live their healthiest selves. I have to ask you, you know, me being a guy, I think I get a little bit different sort of reaction on social media. Being a girl online and, like, you know, posting yourself either working out or, like, in sports bras or in leggings, you're putting yourself out there. And not that you're, like, posting anything that's, like, scantily clad or whatever, but, like, there's got to be an immense amount of pressure with the kind of reaction that you're getting. Have you ever received any kind of, like, unwanted feedback from people online?
So it's interesting, because I do think about this a lot, and I don't necessarily feel pressure to look good for Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm passionate about fitness and health, but, you know, as somebody who is posting themselves and has this very fitness-based Instagram and, you know, I would say persona, my body is part of my content. So I think that does help to motivate me, to fuel my persistence, to keep on going, because I have this community that looks to me, you know, to help motivate them. So it's kind of this feedback loop of like, I'm going to be there for you. Are you going to show up for me? Let's show up together. And we're kind of in this together.
Yeah.
We're on this journey together.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I think in the early part of my fitness journey, before Bodega Body was a thing, before any of that, I was using this personal hashtag for myself. It was called hashtag Journey to 32. And it was my personal goal, because I wanted to make sure I could fit into a size 32 jean. And coming from a size 44, essentially. So I, like, wanted to make sure that I can document for myself my personal progress. And I think the social media part for me was the best way to hold myself accountable, because I was like, okay, I'm publicly putting it out there that I am trying to lose weight. And first of all, that's not necessarily how everyone should do it, because it's it's pressure. However, what I'll say is that, like, I enjoyed sharing that progress along the way. And at this point, now it's kind of cool that I have all this stuff to look back towards, and I have all these, like, pictures that are, you know, 3 years old at this point, to be able to say, wow, I've come a very, very long way from those days. But it also is there documented as a motivator for someone else who wants to see exactly where I came from. So it kind of... it ended up working out in the long run, my mindset around that.
100%. I think that's amazing. I didn't even know that you did that. I'm going to go check that out right after this.
No, it's interesting, because if you look back at some of those old pictures, you'll see, like, pictures of me, like, trying. I remember this one image in my head of me trying this, like, hemp protein. I mean, just, like, staring at this bottle of, like, really, really bad tasting protein. I was like, okay, this one's not for me. And it was, like, me very publicly experimenting with fitness, and me very publicly, like, trying new things out and, like, learning along the way what was for me.
Yeah, so again, and now circle back to now, and you're a vegan.
Yeah, right. Well, what's so funny is that I found this old Facebook post from myself, I want to say from 2014. So this was before I had graduated college. And it was me saying, oh, you know, I sarcastically said I'd try CrossFit and veganism, but then all I'd do is talk about CrossFit and veganism. And I actually,
I'm it like, was like foreshadowing.
I was not expecting that. And when I saw that, I started laughing at myself. I was like, oh, you know, you really foretold the future there. One of the things I've noticed about you recently has been your continuous both public and private support for the Black Lives Matter movement and for other social issues. Now, I have incredibly appreciated that, because you know, you're a girl, grew up on Long Island, you're a white girl, you're Jewish. So I have been incredibly appreciative of your outward support, for the movements. And I've always found it incredibly important to have allies from all shades and colors and backgrounds. So tell me a little bit about your decision to publicly use your voice for these issues.
Yeah. Ooh. So, I mean, at the heart of it, I think it's ridiculous and absurd that people are treated differently for, you know, the color of their skin, for their identity, for their sexual orientation, anything like that. And, you know, I'm really not ashamed to admit that I have kind of been a little awoken since quarantine to really how terrible the situation is. Yeah. And how really deeply rooted in our country and our society it is.
Yeah.
I think I wasn't aware of how bad the problem really was. Mm-hmm. So I've really taken this time to educate, to read, to learn, to watch, you know, different resources, whether it's, you know, the 13th Project.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I went to the protests and it really got firsthand experience in that situation. But I think, you know, it's really just about love and like you said, allyship and not spreading hate. Like we're all humans and we're all in on this world together. And why can't we all just get along and love each other and live our lives? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. And I think that, like, I'm sure to a certain degree, having a platform, right, and having like a follower count, there's some people, I think, I'm not going to say you in particular, but some people might be worried about like, well, like, what if this causes divisions? But I'm glad that you have taken the opportunity to very publicly voice your stance and very publicly voice your opinion on these matters, because I think it's important. And I think that this year, out of any year that I've been alive, is I've seen an immense allyship coming from European Americans and people of European descent. And I'm saying of European descent because I've been doing a lot of reading recently about like where the terms like white and black come from, and there's all this history. And I'll say, tying this back into health and fitness, one of the things that I'm working on for an article, actually, I want to do over the next couple of weeks, by the time this episode comes out, it might already be on the site, is about like the history of fat phobia and fat shaming, and in our medical system, how historically things like BMI have been used to not consider things like bone density or muscular structure and muscular composition, but how they've been used to look at people of color a certain way. So there's some really interesting reading that I've been doing, some really interesting listening I've been doing. NPR actually did an episode on Shortwave, their podcast, recently about that specific history. So I definitely recommend going to go check that out, because you start to realize like, oh, like, our beauty standards, our health standards, it goes deep, right? And it goes deep beyond like housing discrimination. It goes deep beyond that. It goes into food access, which is what brought me to the mission of the website, of the podcast. It's breaking down those barriers for people, and it's breaking down the longstanding stigma of that is prevalent in our communities. So,
100%.
So definitely look out for that whenever it comes out. You were talking to me a couple weeks ago about a social justice project that you're working on. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, this is super exciting. So it's called Power to the People, abbreviated, it's PTTP. But essentially, it's a mobile app that crowdsources police oversight.
Okay.
So what do I mean by that? If you see, or if you're involved in an incident with a police officer, in real time, you're able to record and upload a report. Ideally, you know, you're able to get their badge number, their officer name, if it's, you know, visible within their uniform. But it really creates this public database, consisted of information that, you know, everyday people are uploading. So it's crowdsourced, as I said, on police officers, on precincts, and on, you know, officer incidents. So it really creates this like backlog of information. So we can, you know, hold those bad cops accountable. Like I see these videos being uploaded to Twitter and, you know, people are posting them on Instagram and resharing them. But what's happening? There needs to be like actual change that's coming. And, you know, if an officer is not upholding their duty to serve and protect, or, you know, if an officer is going above and beyond and living up to their oath and being a hero, we want to see that. Right. And you know, it's really amazing that we're able to develop this platform. And I'm honestly, confused that this doesn't already exist.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're interested in learning more or you want to get involved, DM me on Instagram or go to pttp.co as Empower to the People. And we can talk more about it because it's a super exciting project we're working on. I hope that it instills actual change into our society. Yeah. And, you know, I want to help to spread awareness for it because I think it's going to do something good in this world.
Yeah. So what stage is it in right now? Is it like, is the platform still being developed? Is it something that people can contribute to ongoing?
Yes. So right now, it is still in the midst of being developed. Okay. We have, you know, a few coders that are working to, you know, just kind of get everything right, apply for, you know, the app within the Apple store. There are certain, you know, requirements that we have to meet and things like that. But, you know, really just trying to build that awareness, I would say right now, there's a wait list that you're able to join. So if you do go to pttp.co or, you know, any of our social platforms, join that wait list so that the second the app comes out, you're able to download it. Which, you know, I think we're working within like a 3 to 4 week timeline. I think the first demo is slated to go out next week. So it's something that we're actively, I would say not rushing because we want to get it right.
Yeah.
But something that's very relevant right now and something that I think can do a lot of good in the world right now, especially, you know, you see what's happening in Portland. Like we need to be able to record that, hold those police accountable and kind of take back our own power.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's something that is going to be relevant now and it's going to be relevant tomorrow, right? Like, even if our legal system catches up to everything that's going on in the world, I think it's still going to be relevant after that because accountability is always going to be incredibly important in the social justice system and in the justice system in general. That's something that we can all work towards.
Like it was born out of the Black Lives Matter movement, but it's something that's going to live hopefully on way beyond that years to come and be rooted in our, you know, in our systemic change.
Are you guys looking for like any volunteers or anything?
Yeah. I mean, we're always looking for people to help, whether that's, you know, on social or with the outreach and finding brand ambassadors to kind of, you know, go out into the world and tell people about this amazing product that we're creating. So I would definitely say if you're interested in getting involved, we're always looking for volunteers. It's a not for profit app. So we're all kind of just volunteering our time toward this positive change.
Amazing. Great. I hope everyone listening can go check that out. Taking sort of a bit of a right turn, you know, the heart of this podcast is obviously fitness, and I always like to make sure that I can get to people sharing their stories with fitness, because I think one of the important things to realize is that, like us as people, the fitness industry and fitness in general comes from a rainbow of perspectives and comes from a rainbow of disciplines and things that people do. And people's histories with it also comes from a rainbow of perspectives. So tell me, for you personally, what has your relationship with fitness been like over your life?
Yeah. I think this is a great question and something that I've been thinking about a lot over the past few days. I think health has definitely been something that I grew up with. My parents are both doctors. You know, we ate relatively healthy when we were growing up, like not really snacking on like a ton of junk food, anything like that. I ran track in high school. I worked out with a trainer pretty consistently in high school as well. And, you know, over the summers, I would go to sleepaway camp and it was a sports camp. So I was actively playing, you know, tennis and softball and kind of running around. But I would say college was definitely hard to kind of maintain that balance. You know, you're going out a lot, you're drinking, you're partying, and you're not getting as much sleep, and you're balancing working and going to class and things like that. So I might have lost my fitness game a little bit in college. But right after college is kind of when I picked it back up. You know, I did a variety of different, I would say, classes like spinning and boxing and kind of just seeing what I liked. I would take a few yoga classes here or there. And I realized that working out honestly makes me feel good. If I'm having a bad day, it immediately makes me feel better. If I'm in a bad mood and I go and I work out, those endorphins just kind of reinvigorate me. So, you know, working toward that good feeling, I would say, is just something that seamlessly is fitting into my life and something that I continuously want to be a part of my life.
Yeah.
It's more of a lifestyle.
Yeah. I'll say that, like, the finding of the balance and using fitness as a tool to find your balance is incredibly important, because I think oftentimes people kind of look at working out and exercise as a tool for like losing weight. And that's, well, I think it's important for that journey. I don't think that people's relationship with fitness should only be tied to something like that. I think that my personal opinion has become about how does it make you feel? Are you enjoying what you're doing? And it comes down to, are you maintaining a healthy relationship with it? Because if you have a healthy physical body, but you don't have a healthy mental space about it, then you're not necessarily sort of doing what's right for you and doing what's right for your sort of long-term mental game. And for both of us as working professionals, and anyone who's out there who's a working professional, I think the balance and head clearing ability that any kind of fitness can provide to you is what's important. Like Lindsay said, you know, she tries a bunch of different classes, boxing, yoga, etc. It doesn't have to be, especially now during quarantine, it doesn't have to be the gym, right? Like you can walk pretty vigorously and get a good workout. Like me and my girlfriend, my girlfriend hates the gym, but she'll go for super long walks with me. And now we have an exercise bike, so we'll hop on the exercise bike. But it doesn't have to be a one size fits all thing. I know people who literally, again, before quarantine, just danced salsa and did salsa classes.
Yeah.
And that for them was like all of the workout that they were doing. And so I think it's incredibly important to find what that thing is that's going to fit into your life and into your lifestyle. And it doesn't have to be like a 1 hour workout. It doesn't have to be 2 hour workout. You can do, I've seen plenty of YouTube videos of like, you know, this 15 minute workout I can do in my living room. And people love that stuff.
Exactly. I think, you know, it's all about just moving the body and whatever that means for you and whatever feels right for you. So whether that's, you know, going for a 10 minute walk, whether that's, you know, doing an 8 minute abs in your apartment, whether that's, you know, going and playing softball with your friends, like there are so many things that you can be doing to get active and to move without, you know, like you said, doing an hour or 2 hour workout. It's all about consistency. So if you're consistently moving your body, you know, I would say every day, but I would say maybe like 5 to 6 times a week for at least 10 minutes, you're doing the right thing.
Absolutely. And I think that there are helpful tools along the way, right? Like there are helpful little things for reminders. Like I have a Fitbit. And my Fitbit tells me every hour, like, hey, you haven't gotten your 250 steps this hour. So I get up out of my seat, even if I'm at work, and I walk around my apartment and I strut around my apartment a couple times just so I can get the legs moving, so I can, you know, because after working sitting in a chair for 9 hours a day, I have tight hips. And so I got to make sure that I can move as much as I can. And even that is more movement than nothing. And
that's what I think.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, you know, some people that I've been speaking to lately on Instagram have been DMing me, and they talk about how, you know, they dread working out and they don't look forward to it. But like you said, it's just about getting up and moving and finding something that's going to excite you. So whether it's like a tool that's going to remind you, or something my boyfriend has been doing is he likes to read. But you, like you said, he's sitting in the apartment. He doesn't want to be, you know, continuously sitting. So he's been going outside and reading while he's walking.
Interesting.
So he's getting his steps in and he's reading. I mean, it probably looks a little ridiculous on the sidewalk, but I'm super impressed. You read for 30 minutes and, you know, you get half your steps in for the day.
Make sure to tell him to look both ways before crossing the street, though.
Yeah, definitely.
But even that, right? Like, you know, even if you go for a little bit of a longer walk and go read at a park, right? It's better than sitting in your apartment all day and doing the reading there. So finding little ways and little things that you can start doing to get into the habit of it. The thing I always told people at first, one of the early things I started doing in my fitness journey was, instead of taking the elevator, I would take the stairs. Now, if you work in a skyscraper, it's a little bit harder, but in other ways, it's also possible too. So it's making little tweaks and being conscious about those little tweaks that make a ginormous difference, because the more you can create smaller habits and stick to those smaller habits, the easier it will become to create bigger and stronger habits and create bigger changes in your life.
Yeah, 100%.
So as I lovingly called you at the beginning of the show, you are the queen of heart and hustle, because since we've worked together, that hustle mentality has always been pretty prevalent in my understanding of you. And, you know, from trying to maintain a presence online to working pretty damn hard in your day job, no matter what day job it is that you've had, you put an immense amount of work into the things that you do, and you put a tremendous amount of heart into the things that you do, because I think that you genuinely care about the things that you are participating in. And especially now that you're doing volunteer work on the side. So where do you think that that hustle mentality comes from for you?
Yeah. Again, I was thinking a lot about this because, I mean, so like I said before, my parents are doctors. So, you know, I think I grew up watching them work really hard and seeing what that hard work ethic looks like.
Yeah, of course.
And I think that inspired me a little bit. But honestly, I just think it's kind of part of who I am. I can't really explain it. My boyfriend always has to kind of remind me to adjust and recalibrate my expectations to like a normal person's work ethic, which I think is really funny, because he thinks that, you know, I'm shadily really competitive and I really love like the accomplishment of succeeding and getting to that next level. But I don't really think I'm that competitive. It's not like an external competitiveness. If anything, it's more of like an internal, personal competitiveness, like with myself, to like always be better, to be doing better. Remember when Harry used to say like I was wired differently, and like
shout out to Harry.
Don't know. Yeah, when we used to work at Vice together, Harry was our boss, and he would always say that to me, and I never really knew what it meant. I was like, I'm just doing me, and I'm just, you know, working hard, but that's just kind of what I've always been doing.
Yeah, of course.
So I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain, but I just wake up and I try.
Yeah, no, and look,
that's all that you can do.
I think. One, I think you came from a family that, like, one, in order to become a doctor, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of schooling. Yeah. And even once you become a doctor, it's a lot of work to maintain that job and to devote all the time to your practice, no matter what kind of doctor you are. So, I think even if you've never thought about it consciously, right, you've been surrounded by people who work extremely hard and who work for the things that they have. And so I think, maybe by osmosis, and maybe your mom will say something different. Maybe your mom will say, like, did she know she directly taught you that? But even maybe by osmosis, like, you were able to pick a lot of that up. One of the things, and I can relate to this to so many degrees. One of the things I tell my girlfriend about all the time is that my mom was a farmer in the Dominican Republic, and she only has a fourth grade education. But she came to this country and she was like, you know what? I don't know how to speak English. I don't know how to do anything really, but I'm going to do whatever job it is that I have to do to put food on the table. I'm going to do whatever it is I have to do to make sure that my kids have a better life than the life that I had. And sometimes I find myself, I'm like balancing my job, balancing writing for the website, now balancing the podcast, balancing my relationships. And I'm like, wow, I fill up my time with a lot of stuff. And I think for people like you and me, we kind of thrive off of this, making sure we can always put out more and work more and try to be our better selves. And I think to some people that's incredibly intimidating because we do so much and it seems like we quote unquote have it together. But I'll say that like we both get stressed out, we both get overwhelmed, we both sometimes wonder why it is that we do the things that we do. But I think that everyone can find that little something in them to say, you know what, I want to compete with myself, right? I want my best today to be better than my best yesterday. And that, and thinking, shifting your mindset in that direction is what I think can help people make those transformations. It's always striving for just a little bit more.
Yep, 100%. And I
Because,
think,
go ahead.
sorry, keep interrupting
No,
you.
you're good.
I was just going to say, my parents, they actually got divorced when I was, I think I was six. I say six or seven sometimes. So I think I was like in first grade. And so growing up, seeing them both kind of have to work really hard, like we were talking about, but then also seeing my mom have to, provide for herself and be this strong, independent woman who doesn't necessarily rely on a man or anybody else for that matter,
Tell
to kind of to kind of put the food on the table and make sure that we're living, like you said, a better life than she was able to live. I think that's motivated me as well, as like I don't need anybody else. I have me and that's enough. And if I just commit to trying and like you said, every day working a little bit harder and maybe being a little bit better, then it's only gonna expand from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's about balance, right? Like, and it's about even having the hustle mentality, finding those little moments to take a step back and take a break, reflect, analyze. One of the things I talk about with people often is like, it's okay to treat yourself, right? It's okay to take a day off from working out.
Indulge.
Indulge. I know you for your love of candy and your love of sweets.
I'm gonna get over it eventually. It has to be a thing. It's just, that sugar, man.
And I know, and the sugar is nuts, and it's incredibly addicting. But what I will say is that like, if a candy bar for you once a week is what's going to get you to next week, then have your candy bar, right? Have your healthy relationship with it. And it's about the frequency of it, right? Because if you're having 20 candy bars a day, it's very different than having one candy bar a week.
Exactly. And I think people don't realize like necessarily what they're putting into their bodies. Like, you could have a energy bar, and it can be filled with all of these terrible things, and it can have a ton of sugar in it, and it could be like you're eating a candy bar.
Oh yeah.
So you might as well go and have that candy bar, you know?
Yeah. I tell that to people about granola bars all the time. Is that it really depends on what brand that you're getting, because some of them, shout out to Clif Bar. There goes my sponsorship. But like, you know, they are like filled with things like rice syrup and like corn syrup. And I'm like, oh man, like you have a Clif Bar, and sometimes you're having more sugar than what's in a Snickers. What I will say is that there are other good things in the Clif Bar that make it a little bit better. There's like oats and stuff in there that, you know, it can pass for relatively healthy. And if you are someone who's going on a hike, then a Clif Bar's fine. But if you're sitting in your office job, maybe you probably shouldn't have a Clif Bar.
Exactly. I was just going to say, if you're being active and you're outside and you're moving your body and you need a refuel, I think, you know, a Clif Bar can be a great option. But like you said, if you're, you know, being stagnant or you're eating it for breakfast, it might not be the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah. What is next for Lindsay?
What is next?
Yeah, it's a pretty vague question, but what do you think comes next for you? Because you are, you know, doing the Instagram thing, you're progressing in your career. What do you hope comes next for you?
I'm always thinking, I would say, like 3 to 5 years ahead. Mm. I like to kind of plan out my life, even if it doesn't end up happening that way. It's kind of good to like see a vision for the future. Mm. And so I definitely want to get my group fitness certification. I know we've been talking about that for like a few years now.
Yeah.
It's something that I've been working toward, but you know, life gets in the way, and I really need to stop letting it get in the way. But I over the course of the last few months, I've been doing some live Instagram workouts and been teaching a little bit more, and going back to that connection and making that connection with other people. It's something that I've just really enjoyed. And something that I've realized, you're like, you're in the moment and you're just like so focused for like the entire workout or you know, whatever you're doing. So that's definitely something that I'm working toward, you know, continuing Power to the People and making sure that gets off the ground and actually leads to some sort of positive change in the world. Something else that I've been doing a lot since, you know, I did have COVID and I do have the antibodies, is I've actually been donating plasma.
Amazing.
So I've been going to New York Blood Center. I've done it 3 times now, and I'm going actually on the 30th for another one. Mm. But, you know, it's something that you can be doing regardless of COVID or not. People need blood, people need plasma. So that's something that I think I'm going to continue to do multiple times throughout the year, as just like another way to give back. You know, like we were talking about my job, I've really been enjoying, I work at The Independent now, which is a UK-based digital newspaper. Really been enjoying working there. So, you know, hoping to grow there and continue working there over the course of the next few years. I don't know if I've told you this, but something that I'm working toward in life just generally, and I put 40 years old as like my main goal, is to be a CRO.
Oh, wow.
A chief revenue officer.
Okay.
So that's something that I'm working toward. That's like a very high level goal that, you know, would ultimately, I think, just really make me happy. I've had some amazing CROs at Vice and at Pop Sugar when I worked there. And I've just, you know, been very impressed by their hustle. And I think that could be my ultimate goal.
Mm, amazing. Having a vision is important, right? And like having the vision is what is going to keep you motivated and what's going to keep you driven. And I tell that every day, right? Create a goal, create a vision for yourself, visualize it, do a vision board, write it down, whatever it is that you have to do, but like aim for something and aim for your something. And that at the end of the day is what's going to make the hard work easy. It's what's going to make the hustle come naturally. It's making sure that you can find that thing that you want to accomplish and making sure that it's the thing that means something to you. And then the rest of it will come. And working towards it, it will come. And you have to move at your own pace to get there, right? Like, maybe 40 is great for Lindsay, but it doesn't have to be 40 for the next person. So 100%. It's incredibly admirable. And I think that you will be a CRO. I always joke around saying, oh, Lindsay's going to be all of our bosses one day.
You used to say that to me, and I'm like, you know, I might just be, so you better be careful. You want to get on my good side.
Yeah, right.
No, amazing. But I want to hear a little bit about you. Like, what? So you have the podcast going on. You have, you know, Bodega Body, the website, and constantly writing.
Yeah.
And you have your job. So so what else is going to be in the works for you?
Yeah, right now I'm trying to figure out how I can eventually do this full time and how I can devote all of my time to helping people and to helping the overall mission. I've got a couple ideas in the head about a little bit more of a business model, because I think that like the content thing is great and the content thing is important because it's important to share my story and share my vision. But I also want to provide a little bit more than that. I'm working on a couple of different certifications right now. I have all the textbooks that I'm reading through, and I'm kind of reading through them at my own pace. But I'm working on a certification in nutrition. I'm working on a certification in personal training, just to get the formal education and the formal background that I think I need. And then from there, you know, developing a little bit more of a business model. But I think the balance that I have right now is that this is a fun project for me, and this is something I'm doing out of passion. And it's a lot of work. Like, sometimes I'll like get off from work and I'll record an episode of the podcast, or I'll get off from work and I'll start writing for the site. So it's work, but it's enjoyable work, and it's something that, from the feedback that I've gotten, has been helpful to people. I got a message yesterday from a friend of mine from college who was like, yo, I've been like eating a lot more plants, and I've been like vegan actually. And I'm like, that's super dope. Like, that's cool. And those little rewarding things to me are what is meaningful. And being able to make any kind of positive change in someone's life is what, at the end of the day, is going to keep me doing the podcast, keep me doing the website, even if I'm not necessarily making money off of them for the long run. Because I'm not making money off of this right now. Like, I have a little bit of like ad dollars coming in, but it's not quit my job ad dollar.
Yeah, it's not, you know, supplementing your salary.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe you'll get there.
Maybe one day.
Getting there.
Maybe one day.
I could see. Because the real goal is to find something that you love doing that doesn't feel like work.
Oh yeah.
Because then you're gonna wake up every single day and you're just gonna want to do it.
Oh yeah. And honestly, like, it's been really hard to not think about this stuff and not think about the podcast, not think about the website, not think about the couple of business things that I'll tell you about offline, that I'm trying to put out there into the ethos. So more to come on that for those who follow me soon. So Lindsay, it's been great chatting. How can people find you online?
Oh yes, a little plug here. So you spoke about my little hashtag earlier, Under the Influence. Another one I have, which, you know, might be a little quote unquote controversial, because run of the mill means like average, but I took a spin on it and I did hashtag run of the millner. Shout out to John Ruff, who helped me think of that, because it's not average. It's more than that. But you know, it's just Lindsay.Milner on Instagram. And if I did start a YouTube.
Amazing.
And I'm working to create a website. So, you know, if you DM me or you follow me, more details to come in the coming, you know, weeks and months. So I'm excited to connect with more people and just continue to be on this journey together.
Amazing. Well, Lindsay, I incredibly appreciate your time. I've always had so much love for you and for your heart and for your hard work. I think that people can learn a lot from the what you contribute into the space and what you contribute in your day-to-day life. And I think that, you know, I think some people, when they first meet you, they're like, wow, she works really hard. And wow, she's really on top of her game. But I think it's so commendable. So,
Oh, thanks, Rich. Love you. This has been so fun. And I'm, you know, so impressed with what you're doing. I mean, creating a website and sticking to it and, you know, now doing a podcast and editing everything yourself, like, it's definitely motivating me. So
yeah, I'll tell you, it's hard, but I love it. I love it. I wouldn't take it for anything else. Well, thank you, Lindsay. I hope you have you on sometime soon. Chat soon.
Yeah. All right. Let's have a great rest of your day. Hey,
yo, Icon, what you got? I'm back in rare form, nigga. I said I'm back in rare form, nigga. Yo, listen, I said I came from the bottom. You an elevator, baby. The struggle made us humble and genuinely crazy. Yo, silver spoon, never. I was raised in the living room. All day smoking haze, praying that I get it soon. I took a nigga pack when I was broke. Almost 20 with no money, up in college lacking hope. Had the whole dorm clicking, you know niggas gotta smoke. Wiping out the competition, ain't no David had the dope. Couldn't walk in my butters, they only fit G's. Nigga, my wrist freeze. Niggas play Superman and get Chris Reeve. All from a text message. I have your girl on you. You be stretched out before you send your next message. I don't like niggas. Beat around the bush for what? I'm really nice, nigga. Axe around and look them up. I'm in a deli with a bottle trying to see what's goody. Yeti side, streets cold. You gon' need your
okay, hoodie. None of y'all niggas gon' ride. Niggas say nicely lied, must be fried. Know where I'm going, nigga, I don't need a god. Married to this money, baby, I don't need a bride. I said all my niggas gon' ride. Niggas say nicely lied, must be fried. Know where I'm going, nigga, I don't need a god. Married to this money, baby, I don't need a bride.
I feel like a precious pebble lodged under the sea. Since I was 8, I knew a 9 to 5 wasn't for me. Shit ain't always how you want it to be. That's why I gotta work hard. My ancestors had to run to be free. At 15, I was running the streets, drinking liquor, puffing the gweets, cutting from school, fucking with freaks. By 21, I was sunk in the seat. G-Ride, bumping some beats, probably looking for something to eat. During my childhood, nothing was sweet. I wore ponies to school. The mother niggas had ups on their feet. It never fazed me though. I knew I was more intelligent, and the gift I had made it even more relevant. When I rap, I touch many like a known therapist. Cause I'm packed with more passion than a gold medalist. I say something, they gon' jack it, nigga. No letterman. I can pop at any time. Shit, there's no telling it.
Okay, none of y'all niggas gon' ride. Niggas say nicely lied, must be fried. Know where I'm going, nigga, I don't need a god. Married to this money, baby, I don't need a bride. I said all my niggas gon' ride. Niggas say nicely lied, must be fried. Know where I'm going, nigga, I don't need a god.